Welcome. This is Luc Berings with a podcast on leadership and things related. Why do people give you influence? Part 2. In part 1 of this series, I stated that you do not have any influence if people do not give it to you. And people do not give you influence if they don't care about the punishment that you can inflict on them, or if they don't care about the reward that you can hand out, or if they don't need your signature, or if they do not care about your example behavior or your expert knowledge. If others do not care, you have no influence. And that is because influence is a gift. People can choose to give it to you or to withhold it. So that brings us to the question, what is leadership without followers, without people who care? If no one chooses to give you influence over them, what then? Is there any clue as to how to become that good or even great leader? In their amazing book, 9 Lies About Work, Marcus Buckingham and Ashley Goodall discuss 9 misconceptions we very often accept as truths. And they mention as lie number 9, leadership is a thing. Because leadership is not a thing, they claim. This is in short what they see looking at the world. 1. The ability to lead is rare. If it were easy, they say, there would be many more good leaders. And if there were many more good leaders, we would be less focused on leadership as a thing. The fact that it is so rare makes it more an object of interest to many. 2. Leaders have shortcomings, and they give some stunning examples. If it is about creating winning strategies, as many people say, well, Churchill's disastrous policies in the 1920s and 1930s were hardly winning strategies. If it is about communication, okay, King George VI of Great Britain, revered for his leadership, could barely speak in public. If it is about ethics, well, what about Steve Jobs, buying a new car every 6 months to avoid registering it so he could park in handicapped spots? Or if it is about caring for those in your charge, well, then what about General Patton and his physically assaulting soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder? If it is about authenticity, well, what about John F. Kennedy with his hidden illnesses and affairs? Leaders have their shortcomings. So what about this set of agreed upon characteristics all great leaders should have? And 3, leadership is not about being the most well-rounded person. Most respected leaders do not even try to be well-rounded. Instead, they try to make the best use of what they already have. And that's why we see so many different ways of leading. Leadership, Buckingham and Goodall say, is not about a list of qualities in a leader, but rather about a set of feelings in a follower. And that is exactly my point. If you do not awaken that set of feelings in the team you're supposed to lead, then they in turn will not give you influence. So there is no one set of characteristics to leadership. When I see the list of supposed characteristics, like being inspirational, being able to create and articulate a vision, or getting stuff done, or setting a direction, or formulate a strategy, decision-making, managing conflict, motivating, communication skills, executive presence, etc., etc., I'm thinking no one can be this or have all these traits at the same time. And in 9 Lies About Work, Buckingham and Goodall describe plenty of examples of leaders who lack some seemingly very important traits. So what follows from all of this? Well, a couple of things. First of all, that leaders should accept that they are incomplete. No one has everything it supposedly takes. Secondly, that leaders should embrace the one or two things that make them different, specific, stand out. And third, that we should take a closer look at the feelings or needs of followers to get a clue as to why people give others, their leaders, influence over them. Now, in the course of this series on why people give you influence, I will distinguish 5 different needs or feelings. And from these needs, we could ask ourselves if there is anything about us that may satisfy that need and thus make others grant us influence over them. Now, there are certainly more than 5. for instance, I mean, depending on different circumstances, people can have different needs. And that's why I encourage everybody to definitely also do their own thinking on this. The first of the five, people need to know what makes you different or specific or maybe even an outlier. What do you stand for? And I don't mean the company's vision or mission. Every leader is different. So what you stand for is very personal. What works for you? What are you there for? Why do you make a difference? What makes you tick? People don't work for a company. They work for you as a leader of their team. So who are you? What's the color of your parachute? What did Churchill stand for? Well, here are a few of his quotes. Draw your conclusions. He said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." And he said, "If you are going through hell, keep going." And he also said, "Kites rise highest against the wind, not with it." Was Churchill's thing maybe about perseverance? What did Steve Jobs stand for? What made him different? Here are some of his quotes. Again, draw your conclusions. He said, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life." He also said, "Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice." And he also said, "A lot of times people don't know what they want until you show it to them." Maybe independence was a thing for Steve Jobs, or General Patton when he said things like, "I'm a soldier, I fight where I'm told and I win where I fight." Or, "A pint of sweat will save a gallon of blood. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan next week." Was Patton maybe about action? John F. Kennedy, who said things like "efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction." Or "those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future." Or, "A man may die, nations may rise and fall, but an idea lives on." Was John F. Kennedy maybe about the future? When I say your leadership signature, to be clear, I do not mean your style of doing things. I mean, are you the entrepreneur, or the coach, or maybe the accountant type, or are you the harmonizer? I really don't care. All of them can be great or bad leaders. That's all an attempt to describe your overall behavior and the way you do things. I'm looking for something more specific. Remember, people have a need to know what makes you different, what makes you stand out, like Churchill's perseverance or Patton's action. What are you really serious about as a person dealing with other people and your team? The thing you are known for, people tell others about you. All the rest you're willing to discuss or negotiate on, just not this one part. And that part might be your leadership signature. It's your color. It's specific for you. In just one or a few words, it captures something essential about the person you are, the kind of leader you are. And one last thing, it's not something you define or think of or develop. It's not something you dream up because it may sound good or may appeal to others. In true leaders, it's almost certainly already there. Because it is so very much about you, there might even be no way to hide it. It's just waiting to be unveiled by yourself. So, my first new tool, discover your leadership signature. It satisfies people's need to know what makes you different.